So, hello everybody and welcome, welcome, welcome. It has been a minute since I've been on here, but I want to welcome you to my podcast, Reality Hits with Pam. So, here we are back after a storm that hit us about a week ago, and category one, didn't think it was going to turn into anything drastic, but it was. Many of us lost power. It was devastating. We literally, our streets flooded. We didn't have any electricity for about 4 days. And so we made it through. Now it's a little bit over a week and everything is somewhat back to normal. But yet, we get hit with more rain today, Sunday, and it's flooding. So, things like that happen in life all the time. Things are going to come our way, but it's just the fact that we can have some sort of calmness knowing that God always has our back, regardless where we're at, right? And we're always seeking for his protection and guidance as we, move through this journey, life in general. And so today I want to, before I get started, just turn on your notifications so you'll know that I'm coming on, and also share it with a friend. You never know, this might be something that could definitely bless them and they can benefit from it, And so I'm excited that I'm able to come on with you today. Now you could be listening sometime, in your car, you could be in the library, you could be anywhere. So thank you for that. And also, I don't know, it could be day, night, whatever it is. I'm just thankful that you're on here with me today. So we're gonna talk a little bit about how to cope with grief and loss. So y'all, this is a topic that is so controversial because, people deal with grief and loss in so many different ways, and there is not one right way on how to deal with it or how to handle it, right? We all have many ways that we go about it. So I just want to share just a little bit on what I did and how I have been able to cope with it, and how I've been able to see things so differently that has helped me to walk through this journey. And again, grief and loss can be many things in life. It doesn't necessarily have to mean the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of many things in life. You could be losing a car, you could be losing your home, you could, just many things in life that we lose and then we grieve from it, right? And so I'm just gonna, just share my heart with you, and I just want you to just have an open heart and get a notepad, get your journals so that we can talk about it. Many of you guys know me, and if you don't know me, my name is Pam. And I too, like some of us, have lost a spouse, and you might have lost a son or a daughter, a grandma, a mom, uncle, and things like that we never prepare for. Like there's no antidote that will prepare you for anything like that. Death can come suddenly. It can, a lot of times there is no warning. And when you know that your loved one is dying and there's nothing you can do about it other than pray, then that's all you can do about it. And so my life really changed tremendously after the loss of my husband. I married my sweetheart. He was the man of my dreams. He was the man that was there to, to take care of me and my two kids, that I had from a previous marriage. And I thought, like we were gonna do this great long life, in our 50s. We were going to rent a Winnebago and we were going to travel the world and we were going to tell everybody about Jesus. We're going to wait for our kids to be grown and gone. And that was our plan. That was our dream. That was our desire. But yet, life happens, right? And life happens to everybody. You're going to have something that you either are going through right now or you're going to go through and you're going to have to face it one way or another. There's some things you're going to have to go through in life, right? Or some things are going to happen to you that you're going to have to go through and come out on the other side. Well, yeah, life did happen to me. Never, never, ever did I prepare for something like this. Like I say, you just never do. And I never thought something like this would happen to me. And so I just want to take you back to 2005. I guess it was the best year of our lives, actually, because we had just bought a house, and all four of our babies were with us. Our son was gonna be 15, and I had a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And in 2005, my husband Mike had gotten a bad diagnosis, and I really truly believe he was misdiagnosed, but within about a year later, come to find out it was something else. And that whole year that he spent from the hosp from the time that he left the hospital to about a year later to 2006, he was misdiagnosed, and it came about that he has sarcoma cancer. And so this cancer, from what we were told, was a very aggressive cancer. And that he was the news that we were told was that he's gonna have to have chemo. There's so much that transpired that afternoon when we went to go have a consultation with the doctor, that this was the day before 4th of July, and we were devastated. We just like, how are we going to tell the kids? This is not something that you can ever prepare anybody to receive. And so we faced it, we slept on it, and the next day we celebrated the 4th of July, and in 2005. And our kiddos, they're just kids. We weren't expecting this grandacious conversation just because there was no huge conversation to have about. We informed them what's happening. This is what we're gonna have to do. As a family, we're gonna stick together. We're gonna make it through. We're gonna be fine. Like, what else do you tell children? They don't understand, that they don't truly comprehend the fact that, hey, my daddy is going through this. What can I do? Because they're children, And so here it is, 4th of July, we're celebrating. Then after that, we had to tell the kids, and we did. And so our journey begun. And we went from different doctors to through MD Anderson till, to getting a port. There's so many things that had to be done, and I'm a homemaker. We're living on Fairway. Just everything was just going beautifully. Like, I had the perfect house, the kids, the prettiest yard. I didn't have to work, and my husband had the best job ever. He was making good commissions. We bought our home, we bought our furniture, all paid in cash. And all of a sudden, you just get hit with the news. And what do you do? So, Mike and I were just holding on, and we're going through appointments and appointments and appointments, Houston and back home, Houston and back home, 6 months into this, right? So finally the decision was he had to, have chemo, and we had prayed about it, we talked about it, and that was something that we were gonna do. It was in his best interest, to get this done, and we did. And y'all, I kid you not, that was like the worst time of our lives. That chemo tore him up all the way from his insides. He would just throw up, his face, body, hair, everything, lost it, lost his hair, was losing his teeth. His teeth were getting rotten. He would have, like, his stomach would be so bad that it would hurt. There's just certain things that as a woman and as a wife that I would never want any women, any other woman to go through, but I had to do some things for my husband that I wouldn't want any woman to do. And that's where my heart was. That was the man that I loved. That was the man that I married till death do us part. That was the man that I committed myself to. So I for sure was going to be there and do whatever it took to help him. And so, as time progressed, he just became very fragile, and sooner or later he had gained all, the chemo weight, I guess you could say, chemo and radiation therapy. He was just very, very sad. He just knew he was somehow, I think, in his heart and his mind, he just lost it. How do you tell somebody that is having chemo and feeling the way they feel, and you want to tell them it's gonna be all right, you're gonna get through this, and you want them to believe that so badly, but in their deep of hearts, it was not like that. He just was not going to believe that, because he knew in his heart that this was just not good. It was just not good at all. And so, we continued through the treatment, and during this time, we were blessed with a trip to Disney World. That my daughter Madison was blessed with a trip from Kid Wish Foundation, and so we went. Long story short, we went, all of us, and it was fun, but it just wasn't the greatest because our kids, our oldest two kids, three kids, were the only ones able to go on the rides, and I had to stay behind with Madison because she just gotten out of the hospital. She was in the hospital for over 30 days. And that's another podcast, but she was just 2.5, not even 3 years old, and she really couldn't ride any of the rides. And Mike had a port, and he was holding on to this chemo bag and kind of had his little hat on and was walking. He goes, "Pam, I'm not gonna miss this for anything. I'll come, but I might not be able to do as much, So he would get tired and sit. And this man, like, put his whole life out there to make sure that Madison's wish, would come true and that we could go as a family. And he literally walked through and walked through, and with his little fragile body, we would walk through Disney World. And he would get so tired, and his little joints would hurt, and his whole body would ache, but he just kept going. He was just like such a dude, like, to be able to do that, considering how sick he was, and like, knowing him, he's just like, "I'm dying, but I'm here," And so we did that, we went and we made the best of it. I'm sure my kiddos would be like, "Yeah, it was just probably not the same." But we did. We came back home after a few days we spent there, and we came home, and Madison was just getting herself better as well. And long story short, as I'm moving on through this, Mike just continually got sicker and sicker, and to the point where there was a time where we would have to go to the emergency room because his lungs were filling up with fluid, and it was so bad that his whole stomach would like gorge out. And so we would have to go to the ER, and we'd go in there, and they would have to insert this tube on the side and take out all this fluid that was in his body, that was accumulating in his body, and like gallons and gallons and gallons of fluid. Probably about once a week we would have to go and get this done, right? And so finally, right about around June, he June 2006, the doctors finally told us that there's not much more that they want to do right now, because his body was so fragile that they don't want to do any more chemo because they don't really feel like that's gonna do anything for him right now. And so they pretty much sent him home for hospice care, and basically there's nothing else they can do. So At this time, Mike was just not working anymore. He was his office that we had a fourth room there, and that was his office. It became his bed. So we put a bed there, and I had a couple of a little mushroom chair where I would sit and sleep on, and there was a desk in the room, and the kids will be in there to visit with him and stuff like that. But at this point, I'm homeschooling, trying to, that is, but didn't really get very far with it during that this time. And we were just trying to do the best we knew how, and even though we were praying, we didn't stop believing. We had friends around us. We had church family around us to support us. We had people making us meals. I've had people keeping the kids many times, for different things that I needed to get done. And I'll tell you what, a whole village came together for us. And they loved us so much, and they loved my kids that, I mean, we had such awesome, great church family. And my mom and, different people that were very close to us were there to support us. And so as the time is getting closer, June, July, August, and then, we somewhat celebrated my birthday. I honestly don't remember. I don't remember celebrating any birthdays. I don't remember. I don't have recollection. It's really hard, but I know that God is bringing back so many memories in my mind now because, I'm working on a book that I want to write. And so he's bringing back all these memories that I guess I had hidden so deep in my brain that I was not able to remember. But again, so Christmas time is coming around, and all of a sudden we're I'm sorry, I said earlier it was 2006, but we're in 2005 still. And that Christmas, December of 2000 and going into 2006, was a huge month for us because that was the December was the defining line where we were told that there's no more chemo, we're sending you home. And so December of 2005, right into January, we're at home, we're hugging each other, New Year's Day, we're loving on each other, loving our kids. And 6 months into that, he just was not getting any better. He was confined to the bed. I had a hospice nurse to come in and help me. I had her come like three days a week, and she was pretty much a huge help, just a beautiful, beautiful angel, and just helped me. And while the kids are, trying to do their schooling and things like that. And so finally she was telling me, Pam, like a month or two before June, she was kind of coaching me along this journey that things are happening to him that I need to prepare. And again, you never know when is going to be that person's last breath. You just don't know. You cannot count the time and say, oh, by the way, this is the day you are going to go to heaven. This is the day that, you're gonna go home. We don't know that. And so June was a big month for us because we're gonna celebrate my son's birthday at this time. And I remember he was in bed and he had already lost a lot of weight and he had to have oxygen and he was, had pain medicine that the nurse would give him. And finally, like the beginning of June, he's like, Pam, I do not want to be heavily medicated because I want to be able to talk. I want to be able to know what's going on. And but he actually didn't. He actually couldn't. Either way, he was not totally coherent. He was just not there. And so I would sit on that mushroom chair like day after day. I would just sit there. I'll go to sleep on that mushroom chair and I watch him and I pray for him. And I remember to I want to say a week after that, the Lord spoke to me, and I know I just had this inclination that he wanted me to anoint him with oil and like to pray over him. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to be obedient. So I called the kids over and they were kind of right by his bedside, and I told them that I'm going to be praying for Daddy. I'm going to anoint him and pray over him, and I wanted them to be there. And at this point, I remember so vividly, like my kiddos can even tell you this, that we had a Shih Tzu. His name was Sam I Am. And at this point, he's looking over the mirror. We had a little kind of wall mirror there that he would look at. And he was barking at that mirror. And I am assured that there had to have been angels in that room. There had to have been. You know, as I'm getting ready to prepare my husband, I didn't even know what I was doing. All I knew was that I needed to pray for him, and I did. So I anointed him, on his toes, his legs, his feet, his tummy, everything. I just anointed his hands all the way to his forehead, and I just started praying. And in that moment, as I was praying, Sam I Am is barking, and I'm thinking, there's got to be angels in this room. And there were. I sensed it, and I knew. At that moment, as I was praying for my husband, I knew that his time was coming to an end. I just felt it in my spirit. Did I know when? No. I didn't know the time. I didn't know the day. It's kind of just like what Jesus says, when I come, you're not going to know when. And you don't need to know when, but you just need to trust and know that I'm coming back. Well, I had to trust God, and I had to really know that what I was doing was that I was being obedient to what God was telling me to do. And so, that June 14th was my son's birthday. Well, the night before, I talked to Mike, like I put myself to his ear, and he asked me, he goes, "Pam, where's my mom?" And I said, "Your mom is at her house. She's okay." And she goes, I said, "Tomorrow is Bo's birthday, and we're gonna celebrate his birthday." And so he says, "I'm real tired." I said, "Okay, well, just go to sleep, Mike. Just go to sleep." And so that night I was so exhausted. I was so tired. And I didn't sleep in the mushroom chair that night because I didn't want to because I was tired. So I felt like I just needed to get some sleep. You know, it was gonna be a big day. It was gonna be Bo's birthday. And so I really needed to get some rest, so I went and I slept in our bed, in our bedroom. And I don't even remember falling asleep. I don't even remember waking up, but I did, thankfully. And I walked over to the fourth bedroom, which was where Mike was, and I walked into the room slash office, and I went up to greet him, and he was not breathing. And so at that point, he was already gone. And so I was devastated. I didn't know what to do at that point other than to call my pastors. And Pastor Dowdy came, and Miss Claudia came, and the funeral home people came. Carnes, just a gush of people came to our rescue and helped us. And my kids were devastated. They were crying. I had to have Grandy, which was Miss Claudia, to go and pick up my son Beau because he had just started a volunteering job at UTMB. Came when and brought him back home because she had taken him to work that morning. That was going to be his first day. Well, my sweet boy came home and he was 15, going to turn 15. His daddy passing away on his birthday was like a crush to him. And so long story, just in everything that happened and during that time, we were able to make it through. Like I had to tell my son, like, I know this is the hardest time ever, but either way, we will always celebrate your birthday. We'll always celebrate daddy's heavenly birthday. I mean, heavenly going home, and no matter what, Bo. And so now so much has happened, but at that point, the only thing that I could do was blaming myself, first of all, for not being there in that chair, thinking I was going to rescue him, like I was going to keep him from dying. So there's just no way I could have done that. But that's the guilt that I felt, like I left him there and I went to another room, and if I would have been there, maybe this would not have happened. So like, how many of you guys have gone through this? Like, you've experienced guilt, or you're experienced, the fact that you could have done something about it, but honestly, there's nothing you can do. Again, I was obedient to pray for my husband, and that's what I was told to do. The rest is up to God. We all are going to have a time where we're all going to pass from this earth, Do we know when? No, we don't, because that time will be so, I guess it'll just be smooth into that transition to where you just are gonna be gone and you never know when you die anyways, right? And so all I knew is that my husband was no longer in pain. He was didn't have to have chemo anymore. He probably got a brand new teeth, brand new body. He was rejoicing in heaven, just loving Jesus. And that was the consolation that I got in my heart, because there was nothing else I could have done. So he's, in heaven. And so I had to do all the things that needed to be done to prepare for his funeral, his going away party. And I had to find a suit for him. I had my pastor help me. Pastor Dowdy helped me to go get a casket, go get all the funeral arrangements. He helped me to get like a credit union. He helped me to put all these things in place, because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to do all this stuff, right? So that's why it's important to get people in your corner, good people that you can trust, good people that you can count on to help you do this thing, life, this thing that we have to do, right? Because we don't know everything. And again, when something like this happened, you have to be prepared, but you cannot always be prepared because you don't know when things like this are going to happen, right? And so so I had to go through all of this. We had to we did the going away celebration, and I tell you what, it wasn't the easiest thing. I was able to share some words about my husband, and I had my son shared a beautiful story about his dad. And it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. But has it been easy? The whole transition was not easy, because I was pretty much left raising my kids, and that's not something that I prepared for. That is not something that I wrote down on my book plan. But nevertheless, I knew that God was going to pull me through, and that he was going to walk alongside me in this journey, because that's just what I knew to do. I knew that I could trust God to pull me through this. Y'all, I was raising my kids literally by myself. There was no husband in the picture anymore. And I can't tell you that it was just all beautiful, because honestly, there was a moment in my time, in my lifetime, where I was angry at God. I was mad. I was just like, why would you take my husband? Like, why? There's so many other people out there, ugly people that, you could have taken. But why did you take my husband? And so at that point, God spoke to me and he goes, I didn't take him. He was ready. And it's just like, what do you mean ready? He was so young and we were just doing our lives together, y'all. That's just something that I've had to release. Because there were so many times that I would go in this dark space in my head, or I will go to my room and I go through four different doors just to get to my quiet place in my closet in the bathroom. And I would put this shawl over me and I would be in prayer crying. And I would be kind of like, why? Why did this have to happen to me? Like, why me? What did I do? And through many, many years of revelation and many, many years of God speaking to my heart, he's just constantly reassuring me that he is in a better place, that he is rejoicing in heaven, that he is loving Jesus, and he is no more sickness and no more, just pain. And Mike, when I met Mike, he didn't know Jesus. He would go to church a couple of times a year, put $5 in the bucket, and that was that. Well, when he met me, I was 27 and he was 26, and we fell in love. And soon after that, within that year, he was starting to come to church with me, and we got married. And next thing you know, we had a what was it called? A play called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames at Church of the Living God. And that was 2 years into us dating and being married thereafter. And he gave his heart to Jesus. and he was serving as a youth pastor thereafter. God was just using him. I was doing the children's church, and we were doing just fabulous, you know? And I honestly believe that God put me in his life for such a time as this, because we don't know when it's our last day, right? But God, but Mike's time came, and I really feel like God used me and put me in his life for this reason. Because who was to say that something would have happened to him and he didn't know where he was going if he were to die? But now he's in heaven, and I really felt like that God put me in his life to introduce Jesus to him and to give him life, eternal life. So I looked at it that way, and that was an eye opener for me, because I just always felt like how do we even come together? Like, how did this even happen? I already had two kids. He accepted me and my two kids. He loved me. He loved my kids so much. I was like, man, I really love this guy. He is, amazing to take on a woman and her two kids. That takes a lot. So y'all, I tell you what, Mike was just the most beautifulest person I had ever met in my entire life. And so he was 36 when he passed. I was 37, and I was left behind with all four of my kids. One of them was, she has special needs. But again, I am going to share that story on another podcast, but I just want to finish with this with Mike. It hasn't been easy. Every June 14th, we celebrate my son's birthday, and we celebrate daddy's life. My son is 33 now, and I tell you what, he tells me all the time, Mama, every year is different. And I tell you what, I've had the best years. Now that I'm getting older, things are getting easier. They're not as hard. It's just like things are not as hard like they used to be, right? In his 20s. And I thank God for that, because I've always prayed that God would just continually, soften his heart and really like be with him. And so in these times of, as we are grieving in life, as we're going through this journey on how to cope with our grief. And, my daughters have also cope with it in many different ways, and they've done really well. We always have an open communication. We talk about different things, and then my son, calls me or FaceTimes me, and we talk, we share. There's many times in the past years that we've cried, and I honestly, birthdays, Christmas, Father's Days, all those iconic celebrations and moments are hard, and they're gonna hit. They're just gonna hit. It's gonna happen. You cannot avoid it, but it's how you handle it that's gonna get you to the next day. It's how you perceive it. It's how you see it that's going to help you get through the next day. Y'all, one of the promises that my husband wanted me to pursue was to make sure that I take care of the kids, that I am strong to take care of the kids, and that I make sure that they go to college. I promised him that I would. So because of that promise, I had to be sane. I had to be strong. I had to be like put together in my head. I had no choice. I had no choice to even think about other things. I had no choice to go and drink my sorrows away. I had no choice to be out and about partying and doing my thing. I had no choice, because I had four kids that needed me. I had one that was in high school, freshman year at Okano. I had daughters that were in middle school. I had another one that was just in pre-K. So I didn't even have time to grieve. I mean, it's just like Pastor Kim, my coach and mentor, says, sometimes you just gotta mourn and move. And that's what I had to do. And so life has happened. Many things have happened between 2006 and 2024, y'all. I could be here for hours, but I just want to just encourage you to find a group of people, find you a village, find you people that will support you, that'll be there for you, that will encourage you. Find that voice that you can hear that would tell you, get up, because you've got to be able to make it to the next day. I know Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That was my daughter Madison's favorite verses, both of those. And I'm always reminded that even up to the time to where is his anniversary and my son's birthday, up to that time, I always my body starts feeling funky. I don't know about you, but I start feeling like a little bit of anxiety, like, oh my gosh, that day is coming, right? That day is coming. And sometimes you want to go and be by yourself. Sometimes you just want to go and like just hide somewhere or just be away from people. And that's all okay and normal, right? Because we're allowed to feel that way. We're allowed to have those emotions and those feelings, but we just don't want to stay there very long, right? That's what God spoke to me about. You can cry, you can grieve, but just don't stay there very long. And so I just know that a few days before June 14th or Father's Day or March 16th, his birthday, I always get anxious. And so there's a scripture in the Bible that says, be anxious for nothing because I am with you. So God is always with you. God is always with you. I always feel that way, but yet when it comes to that day, I feel such ease. I'm at peace. Now, I can tell you the first few years, first, year two, three, four, and five, I was a basket case. I would cry all the time. I would go in my room and I didn't want to see the girls to watch me cry or see me cry. I would be talking about it and I would just boohoo. And it was very hard. But God has allowed me to grow in my grief and gotten better to the point where I can actually talk about it now, but and I can help other people and talk to other people. And I just, he has helped me to be strong through that time. And I tell you what, it's gotten easier the more that I've shared, the more that I talk about it, and the more open that I am about it. Now, how long does it take? There's no limit on your grief. Grieving is normal and it can take days, it can take months, it can take years. But it's just a matter of how you handle it that will make you that much stronger to be able to cope through it each day and throughout the years. I've been able to read so many books on it, and I have so much information on how to avoid difficult emotions because it's best to be with friends. It's best to be with people, when you're going through times like this, because grieving is it can go two different directions, right? I've heard many different ways how people have dealt with it, and I've heard the positive ways on how people have dealt with it. And so, but if you need to seek, support, if you need to talk to someone about grieving, then I would definitely do that. If you need to join a support group, you can definitely do that as well, because I just think time makes it easier, right? But do you forget? No, because you'll never forget that person that you love so much. You will never forget that person. That person was a part of your life. I'm just talking like, a husband or a wife, right? Losing a daughter, losing a son, losing a grandma, losing a grandpa, losing a mom or a dad. Those are very different emotions that you feel. But losing a spouse, it's very personal, right? It's very and it's very intimate. And so the bond that you have with your loved one is very hard to forget. So I've been able to just encourage other people, when they ask me and they talk to me about it, however many years later now, I can honestly look at you and I can tell you stories. There's a lot of things that I left out just for different privacy times. It was just a journey. This is a journey that we're passing through. And I want to share this Proverbs that I have here. It's Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil things. So, my biggest thing that I'm gonna leave with you is that this is a trust issue. This is where you have to trust God in everything that you do and in everywhere that you go. It's something that we don't question God about, right? We don't question him why anymore. I mean, at least I don't. I don't know about you, but I don't question him anymore. Like, why did you do this? Why did this happen? Because honestly, that is not up to us to question. I think if anything, we just need to accept the fact that, death happens. It's going to happen to all of us, but one way or another, we're going to pass from this earth, right? Because we came into this world, we're going to come out somehow. We're going to leave. And so we just have to know and trust God that, we're going to be gone one day. And so I just want to leave you with that. And also, Jeremiah 29:11, it says that he orders our steps, that he gives us hope in a future. And that's been another one of my big prayers that I pray over my kids all the time. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected hope." So, if anything, I want to leave you with this, that God is always there with you. Whether you see it, whether you believe it, or whether you think of it, he's always there with you. The thing that we have to do is trust him and talk to him, because prayer is just conversations with him, right? We all have a story to share and we all have a story to tell. Well, you can have a story and you can talk to God about. And so it's just again, I'm not trying to make it seem like it's, oh my gosh, it's just so easy, because it isn't. It's hard. You feel so lonely. You just feel so like alone, because like your loved one is not there with you. Like, you're not in bed sleeping with the woman of the man that you married. It's like there's nobody there to sleep no more. That pillow is empty. There's nobody there. Like, when you want to go places, you don't have that person to go with you anymore. Like, when you are preparing dinner, you're not preparing dinner for that extra plate at the head of the table. You're not having prayer time with that person anymore like you used to. You're not having your coffee time in the mornings like you used to, right? Like, you're not waiting for your spouse to come home and you have dinner ready for him, because he's coming home tired, driving in traffic, in different places. You're not going to church together anymore. You're not sitting in that front row with your five, seven or eight kids anymore. So it is a huge adjustment. I'm not gonna knock that. It is a huge adjustment. I know it. Been there. I felt it. But at the end of the day, you still have to get up. You still have to get up and you still have to do what you got to do, because you have your children that are counting on you. You have your mom that's counting on you. You have your brothers or sisters that are counting on you, right? And so that's why it's important that you keep your head in the game, and you realize, what am I living for? What am I doing here? What am I supposed to do? Where am I going? These are all these things that I teach my grandbabies to be mindful. Ask yourself those questions, right? And I know that God will meet you where you're at. He will speak to you in your dreams. He will speak to you in your quiet time, in your closet, in your rooms, in your cars, wherever you're at. You just have to seek God and ask him, "Lord, what am I to do now? What do I do now? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?" And so when you ask those questions, you have to be prepared and ready to receive that command that he's going to give you to do. And so for me, I had to get up and do and be for my kids. I had no other choices. Because if I would have been a total loser and gone out to the world and done my thing, my kids would not be where they're at right now. And they are successful. They're college graduates. Their husbands, boyfriends, they have their jobs, they have their careers, they have their kids, they are doing their life. And again, that was something that I had to trust God with because I could not have done it by myself. And I'm so thankful for my mom that was there to help me. You know, she's always been by my side to help me regardless. You know, she's just been there for me through this time. And I had friends that were just kind of love on me and hug on me, were there for me like a phone call away. You know, I would sit there and I cry and I cry and I cry and I would talk with them. And the more that I talked, the easier it got, the better that it got. You know, but was it hard? Yeah, it was. And it stung every single time. But I tell you what, it will get better. It will get better. Will you forget about it? No, you will never forget that because that's like a scripture in your heart, and it will always be there. There will always be a little place in your heart for that man or that woman that you lost. There will always be that little place in your heart. Nobody can ever take that place. Now, have I been able to move on? I have, in a way. I've dated, have not really found the man for me just yet, and that's okay. I feel like God is preparing that person for me one day. I don't know, but it's just been very difficult. And my daughters are like, "Mama, you can't, you know, your standards are so high. You know, it's like you're not going to be able to find somebody that's just like Daddy." And that's very true, and they're right. But again, I don't know where I'm at in my heart with that. I think I might want to be married, then I think I don't want to be married. Do I want to stay single? Yeah, because I like my freedom, but I don't like being alone and I don't like feeling lonely. But do I want to have someone that I can go do stuff with? And yeah, that's so fun and everything, but yet I still want to be able to do my own thing. So, you know, until God speaks to my heart and tells me exactly what I need to do, I'm just going to be very neutral. Honestly, I've got so many things that I want to do, and I just pray that God will continue to order my steps and direct my path and show me new things to do, help me to be a blessing to other people, help me to share my story, my testimony, my life journey, and that is really all I want to do. So y'all, I really hope this has blessed you. I really hope that if there's anything that you want to talk about, that you can reach out at me. You can find me on my Facebook, Pamela Mossy. You can befriend me on there. I'm more than glad to call you and we can talk. Definitely turn on your notifications so you'll know when I'm coming on my next podcast. Definitely share this with somebody that could definitely benefit from it. Y'all, I know that grieving is not easy. I know that. I know that. It's just, I know it's hard, but I tell you what, it will get easier. Time will heal your heart. Will you ever forget your loved one? No, you will never forget. Don't ever let anybody ever tell you that you'll be fine. You know, just give it a month. Oh, you'll be fine in a year. No, it does. It's not like that. Your grieving process will take. It'll be different than everybody's, you know, and you're allowed to cry, you're allowed to grieve, you're allowed to have your moments. But my word to you is that I don't want you to stay there very long. You're allowed to give yourself that time, but just don't stay there long. So definitely talk to somebody that you can trust, that you can count on, a girlfriend, a guy friend, whoever they may be, and definitely have somebody that you can talk to. You can always call me up or you can text me and you can find me on Facebook. I would love to share more with you. So until next time, we'll be joining you guys next week. It'll be something definitely different. And we're just going to talk about the realities of life because we're all going to go through something, or all we're going to come out of something. And so we just always want to be ready and prepare. So until next time, don't forget to share and subscribe. And don't forget to hit that like button. And until next time, I love you guys. Peace out.